D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you in the midday for one day only. We're holding it down for Chase and Big Joe. They are hosting pre- and post-game coverage of the Music City Bowl, which is coming up later this afternoon, Tennessee versus Illinois in the Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium. So Chase and Big Joe will take over at 3 o'clock to get you ready for the orange matchup between the Tennessee Volunteers and the Fighting Illini of Illinois. But let's talk NFL here for a moment, guys. The AFC playoff picture is starting to take shape, and there are some interesting teams in the mix. The Denver Broncos are in the driver's seat to have the number one seed in the AFC. The New England Patriots, 13-3 under Mike Vrabel, winning the AFC East. I don't think anybody predicted that. Willie, you'll have to go back through the scrolls. I don't think any of us predicted the Patriots to win the AFC East at the beginning of the season, but they've done a remarkable job. And then I want to talk about the Titans' opponent on Sunday. The Jackson
Duval.
Thank you. You know what? Liam Cohen, he can say that however many times he wants, even if I get the shakes every time I hear it, because I just get such secondhand embarrassment watching that clip. But you know what? Liam Cohen has done one hell of a job for the Jacksonville Jaguars from 4-13 a season ago to 12-4. And all the Jags need to do to win the AFC South is to beat the Titans. That shouldn't be too hard, huh? Well, we'll see what happens on Sunday. But here's the question I want to discuss. How much do we believe in Jacksonville? Because when you look at the AFC picture, and we've talked about this before, guys, it's a wide-open AFC this season. No Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Who knows about the Baltimore Ravens? They are in a win-and-you're-in AFC North title clash with the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football. So we may not see, sorry, David, the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs this season. Josh Allen, he's had a great season, but the Bills, they can't win the AFC East. So it's possible that the Bills may have to win, what, four road games. Right, three road games.
They're the seven seed, too. So they have the toughest route, in
yes,
theory.
Yes. So who knows? I always forget how many NFL playoff games there are. But who knows what will happen with the Bills. So I'm looking at the Jaguars, guys. At the moment, the Jags are the third seed in the AFC. They would host the Chargers if the playoffs were to start today, which they don't. I know Willie hates that phrase, but we're going to use it anyway. Right now, it would be the Chargers at the Jaguars in the first round. So, Willie, how much do you believe in what you've seen from Jacksonville? Can Trevor Lawrence make noise in this wide-open AFC playoff field?
Well, the Jaguars still actually have a chance at the one seed. It's not likely. The Chargers are resting players against the Broncos, and if the Broncos beat them, the Broncos are the number one seed. But I think the Jaguars have definitely hit a groove here that they absolutely can make some noise in the playoffs for the reasons you said. Because who is the team to beat? If it's not them, who is it? The Broncos have had a great year, but they're not a juggernaut, right? They have walked the tightrope, and they've won a lot of close games. So I don't know that there's a team that really has a sledgehammer that's just going to roll through everybody. We're going to see some really intriguing playoff games in the AFC. Do you guys agree?
Yes, absolutely. And Trevor Lawrence, first of all, the Jaguars. The Jaguars have won seven consecutive games. Including
a win at Denver.
Yes.
Decisively.
Yes.
Right? That got everybody's attention.
Precisely. That's just what I was about to say. They went to Denver a couple of weeks ago and won 34-20. Which is not an easy thing to do in that stadium. And as you said, Willie, I think that's when people were like, huh, the Jags, that's That's interesting.
Without Travis Hunter.
Without right? Travis they Hunter.
Virtually nothing from him, and here they are.
Right. So, and Liam Cohen seems to have found something with Trevor Lawrence. We have been largely underwhelmed by Trevor Lawrence's career so far, considering how much hype he entered the NFL with several years ago. But it feels like, especially over the past month or so, Derek, that Trevor Lawrence has found that groove, and he's looking like the quarterback everybody thought he would be when he was drafted out of Clemson.
I think we've seen this from Trevor Lawrence before, where, you know, it just looked like, okay, he's getting there. He's arrived. And then all of a sudden, he has an injury, and he tries to play through the injury, and he ends up regressing as a player. And listen, him having these rotation of coaches and offensive coordinators hadn't helped him either. But they found something with he and Liam Cohen. And you're right. He can say Duval all he want to. Now, he has this team in a position where, you know, they can win AFC South. They can be a number one seed. And we know a lot got to happen for that to occur. But this is not a place that I thought many people figured Jacksonville would be toward the end of the season. They thought it would be more so Houston and Indianapolis rather than Jacksonville because, you know, since Trevor Lawrence has gotten there, there's always been this Jacksonville's going to do it. Then they always end up disappointing for the most part each and every season. But they found something with the head coach slash coordinator and the quarterback, and it's working. ETN is becoming a better player, much better player. He was good before they got Liam Cohen, and Liam Cohen has been able to sort of unlock even more ETN. He's been available for him. He's played all the games up until now. Then they have their, you know, they're getting production from their receivers. This is looking more like a Jacksonville team that we thought we would see possibly 2 years ago.
Now
is all coming into form. Now is all coming into form. But I think one of the most important things is their run defense. They have the number one run defense in the National Football League. That makes teams one-dimensional. A lot of teams don't want, especially in the playoffs, they're not patient with their run game. And if they see they can't get it running, then all of a sudden that next inclination is, let's throw the ball. Let's throw the ball to try to loosen things up. Jacksonville has been really good at stopping the run and forcing you to throw the football and then capitalizing from that. If they continue with that, stopping teams from running the football, this team can find themselves in a place that I don't think many pundits thought they would be in, especially this early with Liam Cohen, and that's in the AFC Championship and potentially in the Super Bowl.
The Jaguars. So
who's the team to beat?
In the AFC?
There's no team to beat. There's no team to beat.
Okay, but if you got to pick one.
Right, I would say Houston. I would say Houston. I would say Houston because of their defense. And it seems like they're coming into form as well. I know New England is playing really good football.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Drake May is up, you know, for MVP. I get it. But Houston and that defense.
Yeah.
That's the team.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, that's the team that scares people because one thing that travels is defense.
So right now,
in a run game, good running game in defense.
Right now, the projected wild card weekend matchups in the AFC: Buffalo at New England, the Chargers at Jacksonville, the Texans at the winner of Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And part of me thought Baltimore, if Baltimore makes it, just because you've got Derrick Henry and who knows with Lamar Jackson. But Houston's a really interesting pick there, Derek, because I look at the other teams. The Broncos are 13-3. To Willie's earlier point, they are 11-2 in close games. So they are getting a lot of the bounces. And who knows how long that can last. The Patriots have had a fantastic season, but their schedule has been so easy. And we'll see what happens, especially if they have to play Buffalo. Buffalo just came back and beat them a couple of weeks ago, right? So that would be a really interesting matchup the third time those teams would play this season. I might lean toward Houston as well. They've got a fantastic defense. C.J. Stroud is doing enough. I think I might agree with Derek, Willie. I think I might say Houston. What about you?
I still think that the Bills are going to have something to say about this, even though they have to go on the road.
They've got the best quarterback by a mile in the field.
Yes, and they're battle-tested, and I think they've played the toughest schedule. I'd have to look, but I think they've played the toughest schedule of a lot of these teams as well. And so I think their record would be better, and it's still going to be if they dispose of the Jets, who aren't even trying, it seems like. The Jets are just absolutely rolling the ball out there and basically not even showing up. They're going to be 12-5. So it's not like the Bills have fallen way back. I don't know if this is – I don't think this is the best Bills team. But this year, with no Mahomes, I don't think you can rule them out winning the three road games it would take to get to the Super Bowl.
Listen, Buffalo, I think if you're talking about quarterback led, yeah, they should be the team that everyone looks at and say, man, whether especially at home, but with, you know, Josh Allen, he's the ace. And just like Patrick Mahomes, but he's not in it this year. Lamar Jackson, he may not be in it. Josh Allen is that ace. And as long as he's on your team, yeah, you have to be, there's that sense of, we better come in on all cylinders, because if we don't, Josh Allen, even if he's down 14 points, he will find a way to get his team back in and win. But I look at Houston and I look at what they're doing from a defensive standpoint and offensively too. They remind me a little of Philadelphia, meaning this, that the year we thought Philly was going to win, Philly didn't win. Then they came back and won the Super Bowl. I think that is Houston. The year everyone thought Houston was just supposed to, year prior, they found themselves in the playoff, really good team that next year, bam, they supposed to hit, and they didn't hit. They had injuries and everything else. This year may be the year, because they are coming on at the right time. They're playing good football at the right time, and that is what the NFL is about. Not necessarily the better team. It's the team that's playing better.
Peaking at the right time.
Absolutely. We've heard that in sports all across the board.
Yes.
It's not who's peaking at the right time. And I think Houston right now, along with Jacksonville, they're peaking at the right time.
I think of the context of the AFC South. We're talking about Jacksonville and Houston. Jacksonville, one win away from winning the AFC South. Houston, Derek and I just said they may be the team to beat in the AFC playoffs, despite the fact that they may not even win their own division. And then there are the Colts. The Colts are not making the playoffs.
My pick.
An historic collapse by the Indianapolis Colts. They reportedly will start Riley Leonard in their season finale. Phillip Rivers 0-3 as starting quarterback. It was a nice story. Look, we were all excited to see Phillip Rivers, and he was fine. He completed 63.
He was competitive.
He completed 63% of his passes over three games. It was no masterpiece, but it was a great story. Now he is ineligible for the Football Hall of Fame until 2031, when he would have been eligible next season.
But he may be eligible for that insurance.
He definitely is eligible. Him and his menagerie of children. But
yes.
But I'm just thinking about the context of the AFC South, because we're when we're talking about the Titans trying to pull off. Thank you for menagerie.
Yes.
Okay. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Worthy.
When we're talking about the Titans and, hey, can they pull off a worst to first like the Patriots? I know the Jaguars weren't the worst in their division. Of course, it was the Titans. But the Jaguars went from 4 wins to potentially, 13 wins, right? Mm-hmm. So we're talking about, can the Titans do this? Well, the Jags and the Texans seem like they're in pretty good shape. The Colts, on the other hand, they went all in. Remember, they traded mm-hmm. 2 first-round picks for Sauce Gardner. And now look at where they are, Willie. It's going to be rough for the Colts, I think.
Well, it all is going to depend on the recovery of Daniel Jones. It's, mm-hmm. Think about the ups and downs of that guy's career the last 5 or 6 years. He's been written off 2 or 3 times. All of a sudden, he's had a great season here and there. He was having a great season this year, and now another debilitating injury. That's a hard one to figure out, because they had a stranglehold on the division. But the AFC South is no longer the weak division that it looked like just 2 or 3 years ago. Anything but.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And I don't think, from Indianapolis standpoint, I don't think they have – listen, they're not going to make the playoffs this year, and we understand why. It wasn't that this was a bad team. It's just that they got an injury at a guy that was playing really, really good football and leading his team, and he ends up getting injured. And after that, you just saw the bottom fall out of this team. That makes me think if once they either, whether it's Daniel Jones or another quarterback, someone that can come in and command that huddle and run that offense that Shane Steichen wants to run the way that Daniel Jones was running it. Now, he may be able to come back and do it, but they're going to have to find sort of a break in case of emergency type of quarterback. And this is where the Titans may come in.
Oh, okay. Well, we can pick that up on the other side.
We'll pick it up on the other side.
We can do that. And I do want to touch on Cam Ward, some interesting comments in a story on The Athletic from some executives talking about Cam Ward's rookie season thus far. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction, your thoughts on the AFC playoff picture. The Jaguars have the opportunity to defeat the Titans on Sunday and win the AFC South. Seems simple enough to me. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, The Game. Back in the midday for one day. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Talking AFC playoff picture. And Derek, before the break, we were talking about the Colts, who are not in the AFC playoff picture. An historic collapse by the Colts. From 7-1 to 8-8. It's bad. And you've mentioned before about whether the Colts should be interested in Will Levis, depending on what the Titans decide to do with Will Levis. So you want to make that case again?
I mean, that was basically, I mean, just that. You know, and listen, I know they have that Anthony Richardson on the roster, but he's dealing with his injury, and he's still in that development stage. He's at the ground level of that development stage as far as a NFL quarterback. So it may take a little bit while longer for Anthony Richardson to reach, you know, that ceiling that you believe he has, if he does reach it. But I think if the price is right, and I'm speaking from an Indianapolis coach standpoint, then I would think about Will Levis because he's young enough. He has the tools. He just needs, you know, someone to help continue to develop him. Again, will he be a franchise, an elite quarterback? Probably not, but Daniel Jones wasn't an elite quarterback. Steichen just, again, he needs somebody that can run this offense efficiently. And if they can get Will Levis to that point, I think he would be a good fit for a young offense with guys that can get down the field and a running back that can open up holes in that defense for you because of his ability to run the football. So this is not about a Indianapolis team that I think is regressing. Their only problem is their starting quarterback got hurt, and it just went downhill after that. If they can get a guy that can grow with these young guys that they have already and can run the offense Shane wants to run with efficiency, I would kick the tires on a young guy like Will Levis.
Let's talk about the Titans' current starting quarterback, Cam Ward. Jeff Howe of The Athletic does a quarterback stock report every week. In addition to the rankings, he also focuses in on one quarterback each week, gets evaluation of that quarterback from league executives and such. And Cam Ward was the subject of this week's stock report. The headline is, Cam Ward a franchise caliber quarterback? Titans' rough season has made it hard to judge. And I want to get your guys' opinion on something one executive said. Quote, while evaluating Ward, one executive said, it's important to start with the plays when things were structured around him. To be sure, he's made a flurry of improbable throws to display his arm talent, including some wow moments against the Seattle Seahawks in Week 12. But his progress would be viewed as more sustainable when making the simpler plays on schedule. One executive says, quote, he's running for his life most of the time. His offensive line is terrible. You grade when things are done right as much as you can. Throw out the negative plays when they aren't his fault. Take some of those, too, to see where he can learn and fix things. You look for the flashes and then hope they can really push it into next year, end quote. Willie, your thoughts on those thoughts?
I think it falls in line with our evaluation of Cam Ward, so I don't think there was anything earth-shattering there. One thing that gets mentioned in the article that I thought was very significant is the breakdown of Cam Ward having to learn a lot of layers of things that he didn't do in college much. You know, switching the protections, putting people in motion, reading the defense, all of these different things that I thought they did a good job of articulating in this. So he's just scratching the surface of how to do that. And you think with his work ethic, that's going to grow and he's going to get better there. But on top of it, he's going to likely have to learn a whole new offense next year. And we have gone over the history of what that does to guys like that. So I don't care how hard he works. He's got a lot that he's going to have on his plate because of the coaching change and all of that. So that was something that kind of gave me a little bit of pause.
That section Willie is referring to in this article written by Jeff Howe of The Athletic says, quote, Ward already faced a sharp learning curve after spending much of his college career in an air raid system. In college, he didn't deal with extensive pre-snap communication, including longer play calls in the huddle, or the added responsibility at the line of scrimmage of making checks and signaling motions. It's similar to graduating from simple addition into calculus, only with the added risk of getting smoked by a 300-pounder if he can't solve the equation within 2.5 seconds.
I mean, that pretty much...
That sounds hard.
Exactly. That pretty much spells it out. Listen, I don't agree with anything that was said about, you know, the assessment.
You don't agree or you don't disagree?
I don't disagree. Okay. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't disagree about what the assessment says of Cam. You see some good. You see some things that he needs to develop. But you see it around a cloud of uncertainness. A bunch of question marks and, you know, a bunch of we have to, you know, make sure we get this guy or that guy. And how is this guy going to grow and how are they developing around him? So even though we've seen some good, we've seen some bad, we've seen some okay play, I think in the midst of all of that, you've seen a situation that isn't conducive for, you know, a quarterback to, you know, reach his highest potential, even in his rookie season. Because, again, there's levels to being a quarterback. You know, you're not going to reach maximum potential the first year. But what you can do is set yourself up for the second year. You can reach that marker in what is considered, you know, good for a first round or first pick in the NFL draft quarterback. He hadn't been able to do it because of what's around him. Now, again, he needs to get better, and they spelled it out. He needs to get better at some things, but also the things around him needs to get better in order to see if Cam is closer to being a guy or closer to, whoops, we made a mistake here by drafting him first overall.
One texter says, ironically, any quarterback needy team should go after Malik Willis instead of Will Levis. And, Willie, I want your opinion on this because we talked about this after you left the program yesterday. Malik Willis, over the past couple of weeks, has been outstanding for the Packers. Out there looking like prime age Michael Vick, throwing the ball, running the ball. It's been a great transformation for Malik Willis. I'm curious for your thoughts on Malik Willis's play recently and what you think his market could be. He is a free agent this summer, this offseason. I'm wondering what you think his market could be.
Boy, wouldn't that be crazy if he goes out and becomes a guy that is picked to be a starter, right? It's not out of the realm. I just did not see anything from Malik Willis as a Titan that led me to believe he could get to this point. So
I said the same thing yesterday.
All the credit goes to him with what he's done. It just shows you that there are success stories. They're few and far between a lot of times, but there are guys that can change their image and make a jump. Malik Willis looks like one of those, which is why I would hold on to Will Levis, because if my bar is only a cheap backup, I would much rather keep him unless somebody offered something that I couldn't refuse. But Malik Willis was famously traded for a 7th-round pick. I would not do the same thing with Will Levis. I would need something way higher than that to consider. Otherwise, let's see if you can turn Will Levis into the next Malik Willis. How ironic does it sound to say that?
Oh, my goodness.
But how do you turn him into, I mean, you're expecting your guy to be underneath center 17 games, meaning Cam Ward. Whoever that guy is that's tasked to continue to develop Will Levis, there has to be an investment there. There has to be a true investment. There has to be a true buy-in from both sides, saying that you're part of this roster, we want you a part of this roster, and we're going to develop you as such. You know, and if you do get an opportunity to come in as a starting quarterback, if something happens, you know, to Cam, then we're confident that we've done enough to make sure that once you step underneath center, you are a much different quarterback than the last time Titans fans saw you. So there, if you're going to keep Will Levis, it ain't just about, oh, we're just going to keep him just to have a night. No, you got to develop him. Green Bay is not keeping Malik Willis. They haven't kept Malik Willis just because it was the great thing to do. No, they put an investment in him. Malik Willis put an investment in himself.
Let me ask a follow-up to you, D-Mate, about Willis. Let's go back and wave a magic wand. Because when they decided to draft Levis, and of course this was the Rand Carthon / Mike Vrabel decision, they traded up to get Will Levis. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, they abandoned their development of Malik Willis, right? That became a very confusing. They still had Tannehill. Mm-hmm. They had Willis as the backup for a while. They had Levis off to the side. And then, you know, it was a hodgepodge before they eventually put Levis in there. If they didn't draft Levis at all and just continued the development, the grooming of, well, Willis is going to be the guy we hope will take over for Ryan Tannehill, would that have helped the Titans bring out what we know now about Willis, that he somewhere in there he had that potential?
I'm not sure, because the same people are not doing the development. I know the same subject, meaning, and I hate you a subject, but meaning Malik Willis, he's the central part of it. But it takes development, too, from those people that are tasked to do that. I'm not sure if the individuals here were going to get the same output that they're getting now in Green Bay. So it's hindsight's 2020, but I think it was better for Malik Willis to go where he's at now. I don't think him staying here, he would ultimately end up being what he is now, because there was no evidence. There was no development evidence. There was nothing. The only evidence was throw him out there and let him figure it out. And no, that was unfair to him. That was unfair to the organization. That was unfair to the team for them to do that. Green Bay was in a position where they didn't have to. And they wanted to develop this young man. They wanted to put in the time. Y'all didn't want to put in the time. It's evident. You traded him away. You traded him away. You didn't want to put in the time to develop the guy. He's developing now, and he looks much better than what he was here. So I'm not going to say if he stayed here, Willie, we would have gotten the same Malik Willis that Green Bay is seeing. I don't think that would have been the case, because you got two different people developing this young quarterback.
Quickly, let's go to Rick in Franklin on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Rick, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking the call. Love the show. And, you know, my take this year on Cam is, you know, you see the way this young man can throw the ball. It's just a beautiful thing. But what I like about Cam is I think he has the it factor. And that's what you're looking for. Or I should say that's what I'm looking for. And it's that you can't even hardly put a word on it. But it's leadership. But it even goes beyond leadership. And I think this young man's got it, and some of the things that he needs to work on, like all quarterbacks have to work on when they're coming into the league, I believe he'll get to that. But I think he's got that little special thing, and I'll hang up, and I hope you guys have a great new year.
Thank you for the call, Rick.
See, that's the thing that I don't like. I wonder if people, you know, are thinking about, not necessarily the it. It was the other thing that the caller said. Those other things that we see, do the fan base believe that those things he can develop in and get better? Or is the fan base, for those that are saying, no, he's a bust, they shouldn't draft, are they looking at those same things and saying, no, he can't develop in that? I wonder which one are the fan base looking from. Which glass are they looking at? Are they looking at the glass that, yes, those things are just like any other quarterback, even if you've been drafted first of all, those things you need to develop to become a very good quarterback? Or is it they see him and they're like, nope, he can't do it. He just can't do it.
615-737-1025 will take your reaction, and we will wrap up our return to the midday. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. A quick return trip to the midday for us, filling in for Chase and Big Joe, who will have pre- and post-game coverage of the Music City Bowl for you, starting at the top of the hour, Tennessee versus Illinois at Nissan Stadium, coming up later this afternoon. So Chase and Big Joe will take over in 15 minutes, bringing you pre-game coverage of the Music City Bowl. A programming note for all of you: DVD will not be on tomorrow or Thursday. Tomorrow we will be preempted by the Predators afternoon tilt in Las Vegas, a 2 p.m. Central puck drop at T-Mobile Arena. So we will not be on with you tomorrow, nor will we be on with you on Thursday. It is New Year's Day, after all. So we will be back.
I got a question for you, Adam.
Yes, Willie.
With Vegas being tomorrow and then Seattle on Thursday, the Predators play that night in Seattle, how would you do your two goalies?
Whew, that's a good question. Well, you tell me. When was the last time Eustace Annunen started the first half of a back-to-back?
A couple years ago, they got into, and I can't remember if this was Andrew Burnett's first year or John Hines' last year. They got into a combo where they were using Saros in the back half of back-to-backs. But, you know, Seattle is the team that is right in the bunch of teams that Nashville needs to beat, right? Vegas is going to be there. Vegas is awfully tough. I think there's some pretty serious reasons to consider Annunen tomorrow and Saros at Seattle. But
it's interesting.
I'm not sure if they'll do it.
Interesting question. We'll see what happens tomorrow afternoon. The Predators have won 11 of 16 following their win last night in Utah. Steven Stamkos, two more goals, 13 goals in his past 16 games. We'll see if he can keep that going tomorrow afternoon. But let's get to some of your reaction to our previous conversation about Malik Willis, Cam Ward, so on and so forth. 615-737-1025. One texter says, I don't think Cam is the type of person who's going to get worse because he's going to work his ass off to get better. He doesn't care about money or fame. He wants to be great, and you can't coach that. Tim says, none of this matters until there is stability within the organization. Levis had five different OCs in 5 years, including college. Mariota dealt with the same. No consistency means inconsistent output, and the Titans are in football purgatory with these off-cycle and out-of-sync changes. Justin in Greenbrier says, personally, it is difficult to imagine this organization developing Cam Ward. Their track record with Malik Willis, Will Levis, and others hasn't given much hope for them to invest the time and patience that it takes.
Well, it seems like the reoccurring theme, as it has been, you know, even before the season started, is they don't trust the franchise. It's not the player. They just don't trust the franchise, that the franchise is going to do the things necessary to develop not just the quarterback but other players. And I understand why they think that because of the last, you know, couple of years. But, you know, I think that what Borgonzi has done and what Rand Carthon did that last year should get Titans fans to start thinking a different way. And I say that because look at the last draft class that Rand had and then the first draft class that Borgonzi had. They're developing. They're contributing to this team. Again, do you have top-tier players in those last two drafts? Probably not. I'm trying to think. No, you don't. But you have some good players in those last two drafts. I think T'Vondre Sweat has the potential to be one of the best or one of the better defensive tackles in the National Football League. I think Cedric Gray has the potential to be a A1 linebacker in this league with his speed and his ability to get to plays and recognize plays. And he's on, I believe he's only going to get better as he continues to play. So you have J.C. Latham is another guy that I think is getting better. He moved from one side to the other, still getting better. These are these young guys that were drafted the last 2 years that seems to be a bigger part in this Titans team moving forward. So I think fans need to at least let's do this. Let's not blame Borgonzi for the sins of the past regime. Let's not do that because Borgonzi has stepped out and it seems like the guys that he's drafted are players. Now, what level will they become? Like starters or backups is yet to be seen. It's yet to be known. But it seems like these guys are guys that are going to be contributors to a Titans team that I believe is going to start winning eventually within the next year or two. So let's look at it from that standpoint and let's give them at least right now. Let's start this thing with just Borgonzi and what his draft picks have been able to do. And from the looks of it, they've played okay.
Kevin on our text line says, anyone who didn't see that Malik Willis was trending up was blind, just like the same folks talking about getting rid of Will Levis. I guarantee the Packers and Matt LaFleur saw it. He went there 2 weeks later. He's starting and winning games.
It wasn't that. I think that last year here, in that camp, you start to see him sort of, okay, he's coming on. But then they trade him. I don't fault the Titans for trading him. I don't. And everybody's looking at this, well, he would have been the same. He probably wouldn't have because he still wouldn't have been the starter. They wouldn't have invested the time in developing him, I don't think, like Green Bay is doing. So I'm not going to sit here and say, well, you know, this organization is not going to be able to do anything or develop any guy. Look what they did with Malik Willis. You're going to have situations like that where you decided that, okay, we've given enough time to this guy. He's not where we thought he was going to be. Let's trade him away where we can get something. And he ends up developing even more. The Titans felt they saw what they needed to see and traded him. That was the best thing in the world for Malik Willis.
Willie, we talked about this yesterday. It's a passion of sports fans, right? Why is this player who didn't play well for my team going to another team and playing well? It must be an indictment of my favorite team. It happens across all sports.
It really does. And this is why we love sports, because you can't predict everything. I don't know what the percentage of time is that the guy gets worse, the percentage of time that the guy stays the exact same player that he was. I would say that's probably the biggest chunk, but there's a significant chunk that a new scenery is just what a player needs. I would say it's probably, I don't know, probably 50% of the time the player is the same no matter where he goes. And then I would divide it up with the other 50 of the guy falls off or just ages out of the league. And then there's the Malik Willis, right? The guy, the one that really stings the former team's fans. Because, like you said, they always want to blame everybody. Sometimes it's just the player has the light go on.
I do want to provide a very important update quickly before the end of our program. Remember last week we talked about, or a week and a half ago, we talked about young Nolan McGill, the elementary school student from Chattanooga who refused to sing Rocky Top, big Georgia fan. Mm-hmm. He's going to the Sugar Bowl. Fanatics gave him tickets to the Sugar Bowl. So see, kids, you can be viral on TikTok and it will work out okay for you.
Stick it to your principles, work out. That's the lesson of
The kid got Sugar Bowl tickets out of it. He wasn't going to the Sugar Bowl before that.
He stuck to his principles.
That's what I said. That's what I said. You have to stand on your principles. You do not waver on your principles for anybody, not even your elementary school class at your Christmas pageant. So
kudos to that young man.
Congratulations to Nolan McGill. He's getting tickets to the Sugar Bowl. But The Sugar Bowl isn't happening in Nashville. Of course, that's the Music City Bowl. That's coming up in, I think, an hour and a half. Kickoff at 4:30. But Chase and Big Joe will have pregame coverage for you coming up next. Of course, Vanderbilt takes on Iowa and the ReliaQuest Bowl tomorrow at 11 a.m. kickoff in Tampa, Florida. So we'll be watching that game as well. If you missed our conversation with Clark Lee at the beginning of the show, I suggest you go back and listen to it. He assured us that the reason why we were hearing sirens in the background was because he was part of a police escort, not because he was being pulled over.
And what I heard was he would come on anytime we want him to come on.
Like
that's what I heard.
Say that. Yeah.
We did provide an open invitation to Clark Lee. But that'll do it for us today. Again, we are not on tomorrow. Predators.
Hold on. Willie got it. I mean, Willie.
Hold
you
on.
Tell people Happy New Year and everything
We'll get there. Willie, man. You can catch Willie at the Backstreet Boys show at the Sphere tonight in Las Vegas.
Backstreet's back. All right.
He's working on those tickets. There's not much to do in Las Vegas at night, but he is going to go to the Backstreet Boys concert. I can't wait to get those photos. But we will be back on Friday. Predators game tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. New Year's Day on Thursday. So we'll be back at our normal time of 3 p.m. on Friday. On behalf of Willie and Derek and David, we want to wish all of you a very happy new year. Our first full calendar year, 2025. I mean, we started in 2024, but we made it through the end of 2025 here with you on the station. We thank you so much for listening, for interacting. We love you. Well, most of you, some of you I don't really care for, but you know, it is what it is. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you Friday, 3 p.m.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe and blessed and wonderful New Year's. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. Even though we won't see you until next year, we still will not forget about you. Catch us here on Friday at 3 p.m. Peace.